All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It is my privilege and honor to introduce Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, back on the airwaves. Good morning to you, Dr. Craig. How you doing, sir?
Good, Earl. How are you doing?
Listen, we got to be doing great. You know, when you listen to conservatives who are not willing to fund health care for the veterans that they claim to love, when you have conservatives like Ron Johnson talking about monkeying with Medicare and Social Security right in the middle of campaigns, you got to be kind of doing all right, huh?
Yeah, this is a phenomenon that people that study ideologies understand. That if you look historically, ideologies, especially extreme ones, tend to try to perfect themselves and go too far, and they can't help themselves. I mean, why on earth would the Republicans in the Senate, U.S. Senate, in a state of pique because they were mad that the Democrats were going to have a budget deal on climate, health care, and taxing corporations more fairly, the biggest ones that dodge their taxes by planning their profits overseas, they're mad about that. And so they go and vote down a bill for veterans who have cancer from what we did, burning our supplies as we moved around in open pits. So they offended a very powerful figure, John Stewart, in so doing, who is to be commended for being part of the veterans' rights movement and out there as one of the folks who thought it was going to pass. It was supposed to pass. It was bipartisan. And then Ron Johnson, why on earth they call Social Security and Medicare a third rail for a reason? But Ron Johnson, because he actually believes this stuff, that's the only possible explanation, there's no political advantage, goes and grabs the third rail with both hands and then tries to back away.
Robert, I just don't understand. These should be death nails with elections right around the corner. You know, you would think that Ron Johnson doesn't need any more fodder. But he doesn't have any better sense, does he?
You just have to think he believes this stuff.
Yeah.
Because there's no political calculation there. The MAGA group of Trump sycophants in the party, which is a 25% to 30%, you know, hard, solid vote for them, is with him anyway. There's no one pining, even among right-wing conservative voters, to jeopardize Social Security and Medicare. A whole lot of them are on it or plan to be on
right.
it and don't have any other any alternative. I mean, there's no way. I mean, insurance companies charge you more based on health conditions, and when you age, you get more health conditions. The reason we got Medicare in the first place is because most seniors were uninsured in their golden years because insurance companies wouldn't insure them even when health care was much cheaper in the 1940s, 50s, and early 1960s before passage of Medicare. So he has to, you got to believe he believes this stuff, but they're also getting a little, Earl, I think, a little complacent in that they know their base is so strong and that hate works, that no matter what they do, they can make their voters hate the other side even more by disinformation and lies, like you see on Tucker Carlson nightly on primetime. But there are limits that we have. This is a problem across the country. Republicans are nominating potentially unelectable candidates, and it may be like 2010. They could have won the Senate, U.S. Senate in 2010, but they couldn't because they had too many extreme candidates on the ballot. So their worst enemy in general elections is their own voters in primaries, it appears, Earl.
You know, Dr. Craig, and our own Mandela Barnes, who is kind of like the last man standing, are you surprised at all about what transpired over the last couple of weeks with the three toughest competitors all dropping out inside of a 2-week period?
I mean, I don't. Did anyone predict it? If so, they'd be standing up and waving their arms, right, and saying, "Look, I predicted this." Any of the pundits who make a living making political predictions, it's very unusual that you have three strong candidates pull out before a primary. And with the amount of money Alex Lazary had at his disposal, and potentially Sarah Godlewski as well, who is also independently wealthy, though not as wealthy as the Lazarys, I thought they might go in with huge ad buys and make it an extremely close race. So I was assuming a nail biter. I guess if you were, you know, I think the Packers would be surprised if the Bears threw in a white flag at the beginning of the fourth quarter. But, you know, that might actually happen with how bad the Bears have been in recent years.
Leave my team alone. You know, Dr. Craig, it's a sign of the strength of one Mandela Barnes. And people ask me, do you think he can really defeat Ron Johnson? I said, absolutely. Listen to what Ron Johnson continues to do, Dr. Craig. A guy who's been a United States Senator for two terms, all things being equal, is almost unbeatable.
I didn't want to put too much shade. I agree with you on the other candidates. I think legitimately, some of them thought it was in the best interest of the common good for them to pull out and make sure Mandela was going to be a strong nominee. So they were thinking about how bad Ron Johnson was. So I think, and each one differs in their calculation, and we don't have to get into all of that, but I think they were driven in part, this is how it fits with your question, by how important it was for beating Ron Johnson, not just because Ron Johnson is unfit to be in the U.S. Senate, but because Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and potentially Ohio, if it keeps going well, can determine the balance of power in the U.S. Senate. And we have not had a governing majority because we have two conservative Democrats that are not on board for President Biden's entire agenda. It's amazing how close we are to doing his whole agenda because it would pass the House as currently constituted, and we have 48 of 50 senators. If we can hold the existing seats and add Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, we can pass a lot more than we did in the first 2 years of the Biden administration, and we can really show that democracy works, which I think is the key to making Democrats a majority party. They have to show they can deliver, and it's been really hard because of two conservative senators.
So let's talk about the Wisconsin again and stay with Wisconsin. And I was watching the debate with Tim Michaels and Rathman and Strawberry Shortcake. Rebecca Clefish. And
so her husband is on the station, I've heard.
I know. Yeah, he's on the station. But the truth of the matter is, Dr. Craig, you're listening to Tim Michaels, who clearly has spent $12 million of his own money, and who, if you listen to him, I was listening to him on the debate, on the other day, and he was asked a question about whether or not he supports Donald Trump, and he clearly stated that I haven't made a decision on who I'm working on and focusing on what I need to be doing for my own campaign. And then on yesterday, he changed his mind, and I forgot where he was, but clearly on tape, he said, I'm supporting Donald Trump. Donald Trump is coming in a day or so. And if you got a man who will lie like that, Dr. Craig, about nothing, right? I mean, what do you think he's going to do if you give him a platform to become one of the most powerful people in the state and yet one of the most powerful people in the world? What reassurances would people have when they don't know him? This is the only thing they can garner from him, is that he'll lie about nothing.
Well, remember, I think the Washington Post determined that I think Donald Trump lied an average of 20 times a day for his presidency. And maybe I'm overstating it. Maybe it's only 15, but it was a large number on a daily basis. Of course, he had access to Twitter then, so we had more opportunities for more lies. I think what this means, Earl, if you look at if you've decided that your political brand is going to be I'm the Trump guy or the Trump gal, right, you have to do whatever Donald Trump says. And Donald Trump has made it clear that he doesn't mind people who cross him and then come back on bended knee. That's why Lindsey Graham is okay with him. That's why Ted Cruz is okay with him and a number of others. And so I think Michael got his string yanked, right, by Tim Michaels. He didn't commit in the debate. He heard from Mar-a-Lago, which I guess is the palace of what they think is the rightful king. And he immediately changed his tune, and that's what's going to happen if you make Tim Michaels governor. Look at how Trump is trying to brutalize Robin Voss for showing any independence. Yes. A rare thing for Robin Voss, but Robin Voss will not go all the way and do something illegal like try to decertify the 2020 election. And Trump is openly saying that he should be turned out by his primary voters. And so that Michaels needs him, and now whatever comes down, he should have known better than to not know that he had to endorse Trump. But remember, Trump is fine as long as you lower yourself and humiliate yourself. And Tim Michaels has done that, just like Lindsey Graham has done that, and Ted Cruz has done that.
You know, it's the theater of the absurd, Dr. Craig. Let me ask you, now that, you know, Mandela clearly is going to get the Democratic nomination for United States Senate, there are certainly still three or four other people in the race, but they pale in comparison. We know that Mandela is going to wind up with the nomination. Do you think that it impacts in any way, shape, or form the turnout by Democrats? And does it impact or affect the turnout now that Mandela is going to be able to kind of walk through this?
Yes, I do. And that was, look, we endorsed Mandela at CIS National Wisconsin, partly because we know him. We've known him since he had his first organizing job, when he was looking for an organizing job, know who he is. But in addition, we think modern elections at this time period are about turnout. There's very few ticket-splitting swing voters, though a lot of Democrat consultants appear to act like there are. And we know that Governor Evers, as important as his reelection is, has gone all in on swing voters and is not providing much excitement for people who don't generally vote in midterm elections. A lot of people vote only in presidential elections. And Mandela Barnes is an exciting candidate running on exciting issues. Now, he has to run his campaign in a way that you stay on those issues and don't let there's huge amounts of dark money going to come in and try to distract the issue and accuse Mandela of horrible things. We can't even predict. It's whatever the polling says is the most damaging, they're going to say it. It doesn't have to have any connection to reality, but I can assure you, since Mandela Barnes is a black man, it will have a racial component to it. I could make some guesses, but we'll see what their polling and focus group work shows. We can't be distracted because they're going to turn out their base. Ron Johnson will excite the MAGA base. We need to excite people who are losing hope that democracy matters to them, that it matters who their U.S. senator is. And that means running on things that would improve their life and their life prospects, their communities and their families. And people are struggling to have any access to good jobs, and their whole extended family is, and they see, you know, they see their schools underfunded. They see all sorts of other issues, lack of access to health care. I could go on and on. They need to think those things will improve if you elect Mandela Barnes. And if we have a governing majority in the U.S. Senate, they will improve, but we have to show people that. And Mandela was by far the best candidate in the Democratic primary for U.S. Senate to do that and to inspire people to vote. And that's the only way we beat hate, is to inspire people with hope hope and real opportunity. And then the thing is, we have to deliver, Earl, because you can get people to come out like President Obama did in 2008 on hope, but then you better deliver or they're going to get hopeless again.
You know, Dr. Craig, down ticket races, if you can't get the turnout, that's certainly going to impact and affect people on the down ticket races, right?